This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. At the beginning of the visit was Marion Hodge and Mark and Suzanne. This Saturday at noon, the 9th of October, 71, after the Audubon visit. This is Channel 2 Right and the beginning of the visit with Marion Hodge, Mark, Suzanne. This Saturday at noon, the 9th of October, 71, after the Audubon field trip. Channel 2 Right, beginning the visit with Marion Hodge, Mark, Suzanne, at lunch this Saturday, the 9th of October, 71, after the Audubon field trip.
We're there,
yeah.
Committing themselves as exclusively as he's done to the university.
Well,
it's just
something more than this.
Well,
that's just when somebody else may have fixed it.
Beautiful.
Let's have
oh, that tea is good.
Nice and sizzle.
Now we get. I don't know what that old big old fan does any good or not, but I always feel like it helps.
Mm. Well, this one is dummy.
Can you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a teaspoon down here and hand that to Mark if he wants to put some sugar in it.
Okay. A little bread, plain bread.
Okay.
Well, Marion, now whenever you get the bread, we want to hear everything.
I was talking away.
Yeah.
I could hear Faye perfectly, so I thought she was hearing everything I said.
Yeah. It's just noisy place.
Especially when you're moving around.
Now I'm interested in that fellow you was talking about.
Well, Don, I wish I brought the paper so I could tell you his name. Thank you. But anyway, he's a top forester, and his name is EMTG. Do you know what it is? Something or other. And he was one of the men who worked on this 10-year Ocala plan that was for use of the whole basin of the Akawaha and the whole region there, and took into consideration every kind of activity. I mean business and recreation as you know, ecology and everything. And these people from all over the state gave 3 days of their lives down at Silver Spring. And they had architects and all kinds of people. And they evolved this what's called the Ocala Plan. And it's quite a thing if it can be followed. And Askew is in favor of implementing it. And the forestry people are, and the Game and Fish and Wildlife, and I believe the Corps of Engineers. So then, all of a sudden, this man is transferred to Utah. And all the conservationists were frantic, so I read in the paper, but I've been away, and I had a lot of company, and so I really am not up on the news, really. But, and today it said in the paper that Lawton Childs has written to the chief forester in Washington asking that this man be kept here. Said that if he's moved, it will be a big setback to this implementation of this plan. And he said that he'd had hundreds and hundreds of telephone calls from all around the state, you know, protesting the moving of this man. And when it was first announced, it was said in the St. Pete Times that it was could be political because he has bucked a lot of the old, you know, pork choppers and people, I guess. So maybe he'll get to stay here. But I don't believe he was at the hearing when you were there, but he's a good-looking man and he speaks marvelously.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I was thinking, when I heard him down in Silver Springs, I just went down Sunday afternoon for the last, they'd been working night and day down there for 3 days. And I thought, goodness, this man could be anything. He's, because he spoke so well, he's such a well-rounded man, you know, as well as being a forester. He does a lot of other things, too. So I hope he gets to stay here.
But he has just recently then come forward.
Well, he's the... stupid of me not to bring the paper. I didn't read it very carefully because I thought I'll bring it out and read it out here. But he is the top forester in the state, a federal man. But he's been working on conservation for a long time. He's not just a forester. He's been bucking the Corps of Engineers for a long time.
Yeah.
And the forestry people, that's one thing I wanted to tell you after that hearing. When I got there, I thought, what in the world is going on? That Edgar Johnson, were you there when he talked?
No.
No.
Oh, well, after that stupid man spoke so long, you know, and
yeah.
What he read was out of the Congressional Quarterly.
Yeah, that's where we live.
Finally, the man from Washington stopped him. Were you there when he stopped him?
No.
Mm-mm.
Well, he said that there was just as much time and that he was taking a disproportionate amount of time, and that if we wanted to find out what the rest of it was, we could find it in such and such a number, you know, and then, so the man was quite annoyed that he had to sit down, but he'd been going on, he went on for an hour, you know, and there were other people who were waiting to speak, maybe you were, but I know George Herf was, and they had to leave. George finally sent a note up to the man from Washington, the president's representative, protesting the situation and saying he just couldn't wait any longer. He got a nice letter back from Washington about it. Well, then Edgar Johnson, you know, Edgar got up and he talked and talked and talked and talked. And finally he had to ask him to sit down, and he said two people have taken up the... you know, the most of the morning here. And so this man that was talking when you were there, he said, are you referring to me, that I talked too long? And the man from Washington said, yes, I am. Oh, he was just incensed, you know. So Dave Anthony said, these forestry people have been bent over backwards in these hearings through the state to give us a fair chance to be heard. And these people were just filibustering, you know.
Yeah.
Because they knew in Gainesville there would be a number of people who would be wanting to speak. So they planned to have something else in the afternoon, but they arranged it that anybody who didn't get to speak in the morning could come back and speak in the afternoon, so everybody'd been heard. But you know, a lot of people didn't come back. They couldn't. I went back when Mary Dye, Margie Carr came back, and she spoke, and somebody else, but... a number of people, but you heard that radio program, it was called Feedback. That was good, wasn't it? Did you think it was good? I mean, didn't you think, I wish I could remember the name of the man from Washington, but didn't you think he was good on that program?
I've forgotten.
If you heard the one that I did.
There was one that I heard, and the man from Washington was pretty good. Extra good.
Yeah.
I
thought he was better than any of the rest.
They kept baiting him, said that he already knew how he was going to vote.
Yeah, that's the one I heard. He was good, I thought.
Well, he was on the commission that turned down the canal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Ocala plan?
But now,
I was wondering what the Ocala plan is.
Well,
what is part of that plan?
I have a mouth for you. It's real detailed, and I could get a copy of it, but it's...
Do you remember something that's in it?
Well, not really, because it was... You see, I was just there for the summary of it. But
for
I know.
Local use for the area.
But it's for the whole area, a big area, many, many acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes into consideration all kinds of activities. It's the best use of the area. That's what it is.
Oh, it's a general study was made, conservation study, so a lot of different proposals.
Well, they really got down to brass tacks and really worked out what to do. Which way the growth of the city should be, which way, I think we're in that Ocala plan.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which way the, ecologically and every way, which way Gainesville should grow and extend.
Hmm.
It was a master plan, but it was pretty detailed, too.
Okay.
And it's said to be, could be a model for the United States, and, you know, that sort of plan. Because they got all kinds of people, engineers, architects, top ones in the state, and they worked real hard. They worked all night, a couple of nights, to get this thing ready. But
now that had already happened when Dave Anthony was on the topic program on Channel 2 that I heard.
Can you mention it?
That had already happened, and they had that behind him. I don't know what he mentioned. I can't give you in detail, but I know that had happened. And, he had all that behind. Marion, I wrote that long letter to the man, to the lawyer, to send your copy.
Yes,
I didn't mean that it would do any good, you see, but it helped me sort of see what was going on.
Mm.
And that enabled me to get into that television program.
Yeah.
You see, you have to work into it before I see you.
Yeah.
And a great deal of it became a little clearer.
It was a good letter. But I was glad that you had seen that TV program, because I felt better after I saw it, because I was really upset with that hearing in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And they did try to be fair, but, I mean, the forestry people.
Yeah.
And, but I think the man from Washington should have cut that other man off after half an hour.
Yeah. He went through the routine, through the 2 minutes, like an old hen sitting on a nest.
Mm.
What occurred to me, man, is they have such a one-track mind.
Mm.
There's no flexibility at all in their thinking.
Mm-mm.
And it looks to me like what they've done, they've just sort of pinned themselves to the Corps of Engineers and $10 million ever so often. That $10 million spoiled them.
You mean the people who are for the canal?
Yeah.
Mm.
And what they've done, you see, they've had so many of the important state officials involved in it that it has closed their mind to other possibilities,
mm-hmm.
and actually what they were doing was no damn good.
No.
But it closed their mind to doing something that was. You see, all the effort seemed to be in that fight.
Yeah.
Now that's the way it appeared to me from that program, so, but I'm not trying to tell you the way it is, I mean, that's just the way it appeared to me.
This is delicious.
I think the little tomato's good, Mark.
You see, that little lawyer from Palatka, he didn't know beans. He's sort of pompous.
He's been awful ever since the fight started. He's been real bad.
Yeah. Well, you see, Palatka revolves around that place. They bring in so much money.
Mm.
That's one of the headquarters, you see, of the Corps, is this Palatka.
Well, he wasn't from the Corps of Engineers, though, was he? He was a politician, wasn't he?
He's a lawyer. I don't know whether he was a politician or not.
Yeah.
Uh, I know you could see the duplicity. He talked like a little small town fella. We want our dam. We won't take our dam away from us.
Well, they've got their dam now. Because this judge from out west who was ruled that the dam would, the water would stay 18 feet. We won't lower it.
Mm-hmm.
He's evidently the judge who they put together all the cases about the canal, and he's the one who. But this isn't the case. This is a hearing that he's having. But he stopped the injunction that would have prevented the lowering, that would have lowered the.
Mm-hmm.
But he also gave the go-ahead to tear the bridges down. Over. I don't know how it's going to come out.
Hi, Miss Carter.
Margie? I haven't seen her since she got back from South America.
Oh, she took a trip.
Down where they have the turtles.
Yes.
She was gone, 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Down where they have the turtles?
Mm-hmm.
That's Archie Carr.
Oh, he's the turtle expert.
Yeah.
Margie
yeah.
Carr is like.
Oh, I see.
Now, has she been going right along with the court business?
Yes, she's been working on it. When she was down there, I don't know how much she did to, what's his name, Lee Ogden. Isn't he president of the Conservation Council? He and Dave Anthony were here, and they went along with it. And I'm sure Margie was in touch. And, she's gone right along with it. She's worked hard on it. She hasn't stopped.
She hasn't stopped.
Mm-mm. Unless she did take a break this summer when she was down south.
Yes, I understand. But I mean, she's hadn't hung up her firearms.
No.
Now, she puts in just about all her time, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
How does she get information, so much information? She just knows people everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Through Archie, too. You know, he knows a lot of people in that field.
Uh-huh.
And I guess now she knows all the senators and all the people on committees in Washington. And she's And all through Florida, she knows them. And this is coordinated down at the Florida Defenders. They stayed open all summer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But I didn't talk to them. I've really been out of touch this summer. Since Marjorie went, I've been out of touch. I usually get my news from her, you know. Did you see a copy of the Dimension? You know what that is. That's the publication of the Business Administration Department. And it's a little magazine. And you know, Wally wrote back in 64 or 65, he had an article in that magazine. Did you see that one? He spent a long time working up about the economics of the Barge Canal. That made him furious, showing how it was economically unfeasible. And they published that in this Dimension. And they use that as the, you know, the to refer to about the economics of the barge canal. And just this year, a professor by the name of Robert, and he wrote the sequel to it 5 years later.
Oh, really?
That all the things that had been, you know, foreseen in that first article are now being shown to be true. All of the predictions economically and ecologically and everything.
How did Paul Roberts get here? Was that just accidental? Or was he here and took an interest?
Oh, he's in the business administration.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thinking about the young fellow. What's his name? Who's worked with Dave Anthony?
Paul Roberts.
That's Paul Roberts?
Mm-hmm.
He's in business administration?
I think, or economics, one of the two.
Yeah, no, I thought he was in economics, but it doesn't matter.
Well, maybe he is in economics.
Yeah. Well, now that's the first thing I ever saw on the economics, that...
what Paul wrote this year.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing recent.
No, this spring it came out.
I think what I heard first was on Channel 5.
Yes, but he has quite a long article in Dimension. Did you see that one?
No.
And that came out in the spring.
Yeah.
I have a copy if you want to read it.
I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Did he just happen down here, or was he here and got interested?
That was it. He had a job at the university, and he got interested.
Yeah.
And now he goes, they send for him all over the United States.
Yeah.
And he, because what this fight about the Akawaha has been sort of a, well, it's the first one of its kind.
Yeah.
There have been other things environmentally, but... And you know, they also got out a magazine, the Florida Defenders did. It's a whole, like a Bible, about this thick. And it's written by all the different professors, all the different biologists and people about the barge canal and the Akawaha. And it's called an environmental study. And it also, I guess, has Paul Roberts in it, too. And... They dedicated it to Wally when they got it printed.
Oh, did they?
Uh-huh. And now they if you send in, you can get one for $3. And they get them, people from all over the world, not just the United States, are writing in about this. It's sort of a handbook of what to do. And countries that I've never even heard of have sent in for it. Can you imagine?
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's quite a... I have never read it all. I have a copy of it. And, but Dick read it, and he said it... He read it all through, from cover to cover, and he said it really is something.
Well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That might. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, one thing I never could quite understand, these is the big politicians... came out fighting for the barge canal. It looks to me like a man in public life couldn't use his office to do that.
Mm. Well, he shouldn't, should he?
I don't think so, but maybe he should. Now, who, the lieutenant governor, Tom.
Oh, isn't he an awful man?
I'm going to open Mary and his daughter's out of there.
Well, just think of that.
Will you say hello, Jane?
You know, just to show you what an awful person
place.
I am, when this Tom Adams had this, he's the lieutenant governor, you know, when he had this thing in his hand, Tom Adams, you know, and he couldn't work, he had infection in his hand, I thought, gee, I wish I knew how to do it. I'd get some kind of one of these little voodoo dolls, and I'd take it home. And I would just do things to that doll and hope it would happen to Tom Adams. I could take that man.
He's been mean, hasn't he?
He's been awful
mean. Have a dessert.
You have one.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. for dessert.
Yes,
I
like
the
breakfast.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand to hear from him, but I'd commit something. You see, I couldn't trust myself. I heard his advice. I'd get me a pop gun. And
I would too.
I'd pick him up.
I would too.
But you know, it must have got him. They had that thing so snug there for a while. The Jacksonville Port Authority and the, oh, you know, all those. Then they got a State Canal Authority, you know, and they all were unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you see, it blew up.
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, how does the governor stand? Has he come out publicly anyway, ask you?
Mm-hmm.
In the middle.
They can't.
The governor can't take sides.
There's too much division.
The other governors did, except Kirk. He came against it.
Very good for Kirk.
Yeah. Burns was for all of them.
Yeah.
Remember.
I'll tell you what, man. What you need now is somebody to write up the human side of it. The people on, like Ms. Carr, who worked on it,
mm-hmm.
and then the people like Tom Adams, and what they said, and their general attitude, and some of their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's all public matters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can write, who ought to get a hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would also be the man in foreign countries.
They sure are chewy, aren't they?
They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm, they're good. I wish I had the energy I'd have to work on it.
Mm. Well, Dick started a novel, our Dick, about the Akawa, oh, quite a few years ago, and it was quite timely, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he does write awfully well, Dick, when he gets time to write. Then I think after he started it, he went to Arabia for a year. Then he came back, and then he went to Texas right away. And he's been working on his doctorate in Texas, getting a doctorate in general linguistics. And it's really quite difficult, I believe. And it's so, you know, when people ask me what Dick is doing, I very briefly say, well, he's getting a PhD in general linguistics. So then they think, oh, languages. And I can't, I know that it's a science and that it's not languages, but I don't understand it. I don't understand one thing about it. And, but he's been working very, very hard, and so he hasn't had any time to work on his novel.
In the Oklahoma.
Mm. And he's been doing some teaching, too. And he had a full-time job out there at the, what they call a research lab, linguistics. And he didn't have time to work on his dissertation. And you know, he really has been not feeling well. He was just under such tension. And his hair started to come out. It came out in patches. You know, and he came home about 4 days early in the summer, and he looked as though moths had been in his hair. And Dr. Crago said, well, quite often when men working under tension, that happens. So he went back to Austin and saw a doctor there. Well, the hair's coming in, but it's coming in white. So where the hair's come out, it's white and the rest is dark. So
I don't know, his nervous spot.
But he really wasn't feeling well. I was really worried about him, but I think he's feeling better now.
Well, I'd worry about him too, Marion. I never heard of anything like that in my born days.
Well, Dr. Crankle said it's not unusual, and the doctors in Texas said too.
That it's not unusual.
Well, if you're working under tension, and he was evidently, he was trying to do a whole lot, and.
Well, you see, this foot disease my cows had this summer is a common ailment.
Were they under tension? Too, your cows.
No, I'm thinking about the common side of it that I've
never
heard of.
Yeah.
And it just slipped up on me. Claire slipped up on me.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it until they started limping. You see, it's something when you see an old cow just going around favoring that leg like that all of a sudden. You'd think, well, she'd hurt herself. But then another one starts doing it. You know, two of them haven't hurt themselves. First time I saw it, I thought they had been hunching each other, and one of them maybe hit the wrong place. That's how prepared I was for it. Well, I've had a awful time with that.
Is it getting better? Are they getting over it?
Yes, all but one or two that got ahead of it.
Well, we had to work all summer on it. It was news to us.
Yeah.
What do you have to do? Treat it locally or give them medicine?
You get the head down between their legs and hope they don't smack you with a foot. Put a salt poultice on it.
For heaven's sake.
A lot of things you can do with it. Have to do with it.
Did you give that shot this morning?
No, I brought it to the refrigerator, but we still got it. Yeah.
Well, did any more cows get it, or just the two? Did the rest of them get it too? Did it spread?
I'll show it to you. It's easier to show it to you than to explain it to you. I'll take it down there and show you what it was like. Marion, does David puts in. He must not sleep.
Dave Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see when he would.
Or his family.
He works hard, too.
The last time I saw him, he was going up the stairs about three steps at a time. But he looked healthy.
Oh, he looks marvelous, I think. He's real handsome.
As you know, on that radio program, television program, he handled himself with a great deal more agility than the others.
Yeah.
And with ease, I mean to say.
Yeah. Yes, he's really developed quite a poise. And he always did have it, but I mean, he's more and more after look at the experience he's had.
Well, he really takes it seriously, and that's the only way you can do.
Yes. And you know, I'll think of how much money, like the Corps of Engineers, and the Corps, I don't feel as mad at the Corps of Engineers as I do at the politicians, really. If the Corps of Engineers hadn't been there, the politicians couldn't have done all over the United States the things that they've done. But, you know, when we found out what this barge canal was going to do to the country, we wrote letters and we telephoned and we saw every single congressman in the state of Florida, every senator, every representative. You know what they wrote back? to every single one of them, including our Billy Matthews, said, something we appreciate your letter and your views, but we have promised our colleagues in the Senate or in the Congress that we will support the barge canal, and we cannot go back on our colleagues.
No.
They never mentioned the people who vote for them, and they had many, many letters.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you couldn't break that ring.
No.
They were solid. The governor, the cabinet, and every single...
They were unanimous.
They were unanimous.
And I found out long afterwards what happened, of course. People should have known ahead of time. They get together over there with Hodges.
Yeah.
You see, and they all put in there for their own area.
Yes,
and get an agreement on that, and then they vote solid for all
for
the
each
parts.
Other. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why they couldn't go back on their colleagues, but
yeah.
the voters could be. And I've forgotten an awful lot of things, but. When the first break came, I've forgotten who was the first one who broke, and then gradually the... But we couldn't get anything in the newspapers either.
Yeah.
Not one newspaper. If we...
Why, Mary? I didn't realize that.
No, if we were going to have a meeting, we couldn't get it announced in the Gainesville Sun. I guess Wally got together with Ed Johnson, and Wally finally got things, besides his letters, I mean, he got notices in the paper. The St. Pete Times, every paper in the state was for the barge canal, and not one of them would print anything and even put in a notice of a meeting. And if we wanted to get anything in the paper, we had to pay
the
advertisements for it.
That's the story that ought to be told. That ought to be put in the, you know, just plain information, just the papers, just put them down, the ones that didn't put them in.
Well, and gradually, then they... Wally started writing letters in the Gainesville Sun, and then gradually they came around. I think they're against the barge canal now. St. Pete Times has been strong for conservation, you know, for a long, long time now. But it was really so. Not one paper in the state would put in anything about a meeting that was to be held or that had been held, and. It was the most unbelievable thing you ever heard of. And then one time am I boring you about this?
Well, this is very interesting to me because, you see, these are things I didn't know.
Well, one time, a long time ago, we thought that Huntley Brinkley's NBC, that they were going to have something about it on that. And we were pretty sure that was going through. And then we heard, or Margie heard, somehow that they had, people had come down and interviewed Margie and interviewed Wally and interviewed both sides down here, but they were going to give a balanced program about it. That's what we thought. Then they saw somebody up in Washington, and they discovered that the whole Florida delegation was strong for the barge canal, evidently. Something happened. Or they also talked to the Corps of Engineers in Washington. So they canceled the program. And, you know, I was so mad. And a very good friend of Wally's was in the, Mr. Rezor was Secretary of the Army then. And Paul Fahey was next to Mr. Rezor, though Paul was an army man. Mr. Rezor was a civilian. And Paul was a real good friend of Wally. So I called up Paul and told him about it. And I said, we're going to send telegrams to Mr. Rezor. And he said, I'll see they get them. I said, he won't get to see them ever. And Paul said, I'll see that they really get them. So we sent telegrams to Mr. Rezor, and I don't remember anybody else, and something about that the Corps of Engineers had interfered with this program. And sure enough, Mr. Rezor got it, and my goodness, if things didn't pop, they were so mad. The Corps of Engineers, the general, who was the head of the Corps of Engineers, he said, why didn't you come to me about it? Why didn't you come to me about it? You know, why did we go to the Secretary of the Army about it? But we never did get our program. But at least we had the satisfaction of getting through to the top people in Washington. Not that it didn't do us any good. But there were a lot of telephone calls flying back and forth between Washington and Gainesville and Marsha Carr.
Yeah, that was right.
Now, people first became concerned about this canal. What about a year or two ago? How long has this been something that people have been
concerned about? Ever since I've been down here.
That long? It has been foreseen, the project has been foreseen, and people have.
Oh, yes, the early 1960s.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, first, when they talked about it, they said that it wasn't going to interfere with the river at all.
Then is the time.
And they wouldn't tell anybody what they were going to do. And somehow, somebody on the inside gave us a map. When I say us, I don't mean me. I mean the people who
were concerned
about the canal. And a map showing what was going to happen to the Ocklawaha River, you know. Because Billy Matthews said, the Corps of Engineers assured me the river is not going to be harmed. It will be virtually left as it is. You know, that's what they kept saying. And a little boy in Gainesville wrote to the president. He heard, this was after we found the map and found what it was really. What was going to happen to the river is what is happening to the river. And it was certainly very sad. And so right then we started trying to get it stopped. And there had been no hearing about it at all. They finally had a hearing, I think it was in 64 in Tallahassee.
Oh, I did not been an issue that long.
Oh, yeah. And at the hearing, people came and paid their way from all over Florida. They came. That was the most talk about your town meetings, but they came, and they weren't rich people either. There were a lot of them were people who couldn't afford to come up from the other end of Florida and stay all night in a motel. And and then they spoke at this hearing, and really they were very dignified, you know. You talk about the human interest side, you should have been at that hearing. It was really the people talking. Thousands of letters came about it, too. And but they didn't give us, our side, a chance to talk until way, way late in the afternoon. The hearing went on all morning, all afternoon. And here all these people sat and sat. I think it was way long after 3 o'clock before any of us got a chance to get up and talk. And then it was mostly given over to the state people who were for the boat.
Come in.
It was a very unfair
thing. Waiting for you.
And did you ever hear Nat Reed?
I've heard the name. Who is that?
He is assistant secretary of the interior now up in Washington. And he's a millionaire from Hobie Sound. And he went to this hearing in Tallahassee. And that was when he decided he would have to devote his life to conservation. When he saw how that was rigged, you know. And so from that time on, he really worked against in all matters of conservation. And he's now in Washington and Assistant Secretary of the Interior.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's gone up in the world, hasn't he? Not just a little old rich man.
And he says that he thinks, well, he says, I've read in the paper that he says that he doesn't think that any, he thinks the barge canal is a dead duck. He doesn't think it will be revived again. They wouldn't try to revive such a misuse of money and this and that. But I don't know if he really thinks that. You know, but you know, the trouble is, and they're very frank about it, the people who want the canal say, well, Nixon won't be elected again, and then we'll start. They're really planning on that, starting the canal up. And I'm scared to death that the Democratic nominee will, in order to get...
make a deal.
That he'll make a deal, and I've been a Democrat all my life, and I don't like Nixon very well. But I'm going to be
torn.
Pretty sure that if I do vote for the Democratic candidate, that he's born on a stack of Bibles, that he won't change Nixon's but I don't know.
Did Nixon personally intervene with an injunction?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it came from that.
Yes, sir. It had to go at the very top.
Right to the president, I see.
Yeah.
Anybody else along the line, it would have been suicide, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how potent they are.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And his Council on Environmental Quality, isn't that what it is? Anyhow, this man that was at the hearing was the one who was chairman of the council that recommended that Nixon do that. And that's why they kept saying to him on that TV program, well, you knew how you were going to vote before you voted. That's why they kept after him.
Yeah.
But they studied. And then, you know, this suit that they have pending against the Corps of Engineers. And it has to be against the Corps of Engineers because you can't sue politicians. You can't sue the state. So it has to be the Corps of Engineers. And, you know, the EDF, Environmental Defense Fund, is suing the Corps of Engineers, and if they win that suit, that will really stop the canal forever. I mean, then it won't depend on the president anymore. But the president, Nixon, stopped it, but another president could start it, you see. But if they win the suit, it will stop it. And these EDF lawyers have won a lot of suits. They're very good.
Heard that it's really top-notch lawyers.
Yeah. You know, their first meeting was in our Florida right after I got home from the hospital and broke my hip.
Oh, really?
When I broke my hip and then got home from the hospital. It was going to be in some other place. I guess a room at the university, maybe. Then Marjorie wanted to know if they could come over to our house. I don't know why the room wasn't available. It was going to be used for something else. So they came over. All these lawyers came down from New York. Ed Marshall, all the people from around Florida came up. And they had things going in every room in our house. They had movies. And the lawyers came down to see whether they thought we had a case that could be accepted in court. And it cost about, I think it was $17,000 just to get that preliminary. And the Florida Defenders of the Environment got that money together. And, but of course it's astronomical now what the thing cost. And Marjorie gets a lot of money. She knows so many people. And through foundations and funds, you know.
Marjorie's come a long ways since that little tussle she had was with who owned the trailer, Faye?
Mom. Yes. Mary Sherwood.
Mary Sherwood.
Oh, that's
Lake
right.
You remember that?
Well, you see, I hadn't been here very long. Mary had a group that went out bird watching, and I knew Mary. I liked Mary, but I don't know about the trailer.
No, the trailer had nothing to do with it. That's just her old trailer that she lived in.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In there.
And
what a distinguished place to live in. Margie?
No,
Mary Sherwood.
Oh.
We always got Christmas cards from Mary for a long time, but I haven't heard from her lately.
Well, the other girl, lady,
Marjorie Wing.
Wing has heard from her.
She hears from her, definitely.
And I'll get the address from her.
Yeah,
and
she was up around, up in Massachusetts somewhere.
Yeah.
Last I heard.
Yeah, I knew Mary Sherwood, you see. And she was trying to do something about Lake Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would
go. Oh, I remember that.
And all she did was go around and talk to these various people.
Yeah.
And they all thought she was cuckoo.
Well, you know.
And for some reason or other, I don't know how she. You see, the university people were all at outs with her.
Yes, you know, I was publicity chairman for the Audubon Society when Mary was president. I remember the start of something, you know, because she asked me to put this notice in the paper to the effect that on such and such a day there would be a cleanup of Lake Alice and that everybody who wanted to help could. I didn't know anything about put it in the paper. And I guess that everything broke loose from then on because the university was really angry. So they've got, you see, Marjorie had gone around and she'd gotten Dr. Wallace to join the Audubon Society and a number of people to join the Audubon Society.
Yeah.
So then the university was on Marjorie about it, you see. So then Marjorie got on Mary about it. And they told Marjorie that she just has to control Mary's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so Marjorie was in the spot, and well, I mean, that's all I know about Mary and Lake Alice. Then I think that we went up north about that time and were gone some months, you know. And then when we came back, I think Mary was going somewhere else.
It was a little bit more than that, I think, and I don't think it's in Miss Carr's favor. You see, Mary Sherwood was just the old-fashioned bird watcher.
Yeah, I know.
She had no guile.
Oh, no,
none
she
whatsoever.
Did. No.
And, you see, she'd go into these offices over there, and then they wouldn't do it to her face, but then they'd start calling each other to her back.
Well, maybe that's what made them get onto Margie then.
Well, Margie, yes, but Margie, it wasn't her responsibility.
No, except it wasn't her responsibility, except that she was the one that got, who was the president? He joined. She got him to join the Audubon Society, and also Joe Kahn, of course, and H.K. Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they supported the Audubon Society, so to that extent, it was on Margie's back. But she got.
No, I don't think that, not in my view. In my view, she jumped Mary Sherwood.
Well,
And it was after that they had she got the biology department in behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary Sherwood had a lot of the public people in behind it.
Yeah, the original bird watchers
were
behind Mary Sherwood.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's past history. And see, the way it worked out, Mary Sherwood was out of her element anyhow.
I know there was going to be an election, and we weren't going to be here, and Mary Sherwood was running against Margie Carr for president. That was when Mary got shoved aside. So I didn't know Margie Carr. So Mary wanted to know if we'd leave proxy votes for her. So I left a proxy vote, and B. Thompson took it over to from Mary Sherwood. But evidently enough people didn't vote for Mary because Margie got it.
But another view of it is Miss Carr took the Florida Museum people down there and voted in mass. But you see, as the way it worked out, you had to have somebody who could manipulate.
Like Miss
Carr. And she really has put in her time since then, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah, she's given her life to it and her family, too.
You see, I was put out with her for a long time because I was a great admirer of Mary Sherwood.
Yeah,
don't you remember? Oh,
I couldn't see why they got so upset about that Lake Alice
Yeah. Well, it's a part of the same thing that you were talking about. The newspapers and the politicians,
yeah.
They all were solid in favor of it. And the thing that that put an end to Lake Alice was the medical school. You see, they had to cool the water in their refrigeration system, so they just took it back up Lake Alice, and that raised the temperature in Lake Alice.
That was the end of Lake Alice.
That was the end of Lake Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the conservation didn't mean anything to them. Well, now that was my view of it at the time. You see, and
yeah,
since
well,
then I haven't even been a voting member, so I've contributed for the last 7 years, but I haven't taken part in it.
Well, I hope Mary was doing research up there, and I hope she's real happy.
Well, she was just a noble specimen out of the old world.
Yes, she was.
Oh, she was.
She could live on nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw such severity.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
And right in the middle of the swamp.
Yeah.
And never think about it twice.
Yeah.
She
and
was a great spirit.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
And she could just bring the spirit of that swamp right into the living room.
Yes, she could. She was quite a person.
And she was very quiet. I mean, she wasn't.
No, I liked Mary well. So.
I never liked the university, the politics here. It seems to me like it's sort of a frontier system, even at the university.
I'm sure there's a lot of politics.
They're violent.
Mm.
Like Pope said, you see, they could scalp an Indian before lunch and never blink an eye.
I meant to tell you, if you do want to copy that old Tower plan or want to know more about it, it's awfully interesting. I know Dave Anthony would be glad to get you in touch with it. Or Paul Roberts. Do you know Paul Roberts?
No, I don't. But
he's a young fellow. Maybe he's as busy as Dave. I don't know. But anyhow, he's not too busy. He lives right near us.
It's sort of like a unique sort of study in that it combines people of different backgrounds together to work toward designing
the
best
use of the
future city expansion and the best use of the land.
Yeah.
And that's what we need, a lot of different people getting together instead of working for their own interests.
Right.
How widespread is this Florida Defenders, Ms. Carr's little organization here? Now, they've got people all over.
Uh-huh.
In there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all over the United States they have members. They sure are hard up for money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really terrible. But it costs so much money to do that. I mean, when you think of the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes.
Well, how does Miss Carr and David Anthony and them, how do they separate their own money from the defenders' money? Looks like they would be using their own money.
I know Margie uses her own money. I don't know. A lot of times she does.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when we send somebody to Washington, the Florida Defenders, well, if Dave goes up, I know the Florida Defenders pay for that. But if the Canal people want somebody to go to Washington, the taxpayers pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's one of the things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things.
Or the Canal Authority, who get their money from, I don't know, taxpayers.
Yeah.
It's really, and even to advertise the canal, they use taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even get a notice in the newspaper.
Well, let me tell you, there's nothing. You see, NASA has a budget of $700 million. You see, didn't have for advertising.
Sure. Oh, it's really something.
Call it advertising. Well, it's for public relations, or public education, or something else. Let's see. And you, you just can't get around it. General Motors and Humble Oil in Alaska.
Oh, they're big conservation people now. They're doing wonderful things for the country. Everybody is talking ecology nowadays, aren't they?
And that Humble Oil man has such a sanctimonious way about him.
Yeah. He shows you all this beautiful. Do you read the New Yorker? Do you get the New Yorker?
Yeah, we don't read it very much.
Well, you ought to read the last two numbers. This last week and the week before, there's an article in it that's called The Closing Circle, and it's about ecology, and I find it difficult to read, but there are a great many facts, you know, things, figures quoted and a lot of reasoning, and I have to read the paragraph over about 20 times or I get lost in it. Well, yes, because I'm not informed on that subject, but
that ain't kind of like the New Yorker.
Yeah, you don't have it here with you?
No, I don't.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that probably, but I do. Because the idea is that everything in nature goes around in a cycle. Nothing is lost in nature. Nothing goes away. Everything is used one way, and then it goes to another form, and then to another form, and comes back and is used again. It's a complete recycling, and nothing is lost in nature. And the thing that upset the balance now is that we men have put so many things into use now in such tremendous quantities that don't exist in nature. DDT is one thing, and some other things that don't exist. You don't find them in nature. A lot of plastic, for example.
Yeah,
a lot of synthetics. And their use in the last 20 years has increased some of them like 6,000%. And it's just simply thrown the whole thing off balance. One thing that I remember in the first article, I haven't finished the second one yet, is that probably sometime or other some unlucky cell experimented with DDT and it wasn't a good thing, and so that cell probably didn't die, you know, at least there weren't any more cells that carried on DDT, which doesn't exist in nature. And the same thing about plastics and a lot of things like that.
You know, the College of Agriculture supported Tom Adams.
Again.
And they're still in favor of DDT.
Oh, I know they are. I know they are. I just can't understand it.
And their whole view of the world is different from what you might think it is.
I know, because I know some of them. And you know, the teachers in high schools, too, and I think this is really bad. You try to tell them about DDT or something, and, well, they just don't know what we do without it.
No.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do with it pretty soon.
Yeah. Here in his been in on this so long, and she's known the people who can't both ways. Mm-hmm.